to judge, okay? But when I say this out loud, it's going to sound rough at first. But was there any part of you that was hoping Bevo would stick it with the horn?
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Stick him with the horn.
Yeah. Stab with the horn.
He's a dog.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
You wanted to see Uga get stabbed on live television?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I never said I wanted to see it. I asked you if any part of you did.
No. Zero part of me did.
Zero?
This is the sickest
thing. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Any part of you, thumbs up from Ben Lee. Parker? Quick thumbs up from Parker.
You people are sick and disgusting.
On 1340 WKGN.
There wasn't a little part of you that wanted to see, like, you know, just get stuck a little bit.
Stabbed by a horn. No. No part of me wanted to see that. Hour two, kicking off in the fan-run studios. Let's kick it over to Ben Lee and Cam Black for hour two headlines. Whoever wants to start, feel free.
All right. Michigan reportedly set to hire Juwan Howard as the next head coach of their men's basketball team. You know, he's from the Fab Five back in the day.
Yeah.
He's been an assistant with the Heat since 2013, and... You know, they just, I don't think he doesn't have any college coaching experience, but he's going to just kind of hop right in there. And
they're kind of going the Penny Hardaway route
a
little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he should be able to help with recruiting.
Absolutely, especially since he's the cousin of a five-star recruit that's still on the market. So that may shift the tide there. What was it, Jalen McDaniels, I think it's who he's a cousin of.
And he's a Michigan guy.
Yeah.
Michigan tends to be all about that with Harbaugh, and now they got Juwan Howard. Yep, so
if he has a good first season, might get that lifetime contract. Who knows?
I feel like Michigan fans would be pretty happy about that hire. But there's, you know, a few question marks that come around it when the guy doesn't have any college coaching experience. I mean, Beilein was really, really good there, so the standard, I think, is still pretty high.
Probably plenty of Fab Five jokes to go around.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I guess hopefully the assistant coaching in the NBA helps a little bit. I'm sure that will rub off a little something on him. Spoelstra.
Yeah.
I've been working with him. He's a good coach. So
I'd say expectation there would be for him to land five-star players. I'd say that's probably what they'll be hoping for, especially when they look at what Penny's doing.
African swine fever has reached Hong Kong.
What?
The deadly pig disease has already forced the culling of 6,000 pigs in Hong Kong, in addition to millions culled in mainland China and Southeast Asia. You haven't heard about this?
The African swine fever?
Swine fever.
No, I have not. So are the pigs in Africa, they have some issues, and now it's spread to Hong Kong?
It's being called China's pig apocalypse.
Jesus Christ.
Hong Kong is grappling with pork shortage and amid an outbreak of African swine fever in its pig population. It seemed like we have to opt for fish today, said one shopper.
Really? Wow. So the Chinese are experiencing a pork shortage. I hope this doesn't make its way to the United States because pork is very important to my life.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be stunned if the swine fever could make it all the way across the Atlantic.
Well, I'm amazed it went from apparently Africa to Hong Kong. Is that where it jumped from?
That's what they say. But
well, you got a seed across there. I guess it could have gone over the mainland, though.
They probably do. You know, more of their.
There was probably like one infected pig.
There's probably more hog shipping over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And land does connect Africa.
It does kind of sound funny as they break up China and Hong Kong. It says the African swine fever has crossed from China into Hong Kong.
Isn't Hong Kong its own thing?
I think so. It's kind of like the Vatican. It's like basically its own like independent like.
Somebody give us the facts on this. Where's Chad when you need it? Because I watched a thing on Netflix about like America's busiest cities or something.
Yeah.
And I think Hong Kong is its own thing.
Like, it just kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't know.
I always thought it was part of China, too, but I don't think it is.
I thought it was China's capital city.
So, for official purposes, it's part of China, but it's allowed to operate as its own independent country.
It's kind of like D.C.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's literally the Vatican.
Yeah.
Right.
They
smack
call
dab
it
the
Hong
Italy.
Kong Special Administrative Region.
It's basically like Washington, D.C. is to the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, you're just your own little area. Not really sure what goes on.
Mm. Well, thoughts and prayers to the pigs in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong slash China.
Yeah. I hate to see it. The Buccaneers are finalizing a one-year deal with Ndamukong Suh after they released Gerald McCoy on Monday. So he looks like he's going to be their replacement in the middle down there. And Suh leaves the Rams after their Super Bowl run. And
how old is Suh these days?
Ooh, that's a good question. He was taken in the 2010 draft, so that was a good 9 years ago.
Probably puts him at 31, 32.
Yeah, so Ndamukong no longer with the Rams. He's finalizes a deal with the Bucks.
Man, I just figured he'd stay there one more year. Him
Tampa
and Aaron Donald
sure
back
they
to back.
Him or not.
Yeah, I mean, Suh is one of those guys where...
He's 32.
32 now?
Nailed it.
I mean, he's one of those guys, like, at his best, he's the
one
best.
One of the best,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? I mean, he was a factor on the Rams' D-line last year. What are the details, Cam, on that deal with the Bucks?
Numbers haven't came out yet. They're in the process of finalizing it, but it seems like it's a mutual agreement that it's gonna get done. Jared McCoy was making $13 million.
Yeah.
Was on pace to make that this year. I doubt they pay Suh anything near that. Like the Rams signed him to a $14 million deal last year. At 32, I don't think he's gonna get anywhere near that. But
Bucks still one of the worst teams in the league. Well, they're not at the bottom, but they're
the bottom,
you know,
of their,
lower half.
NFC yeah. South, they're at the bottom.
That's a tough. That's
I mean,
a tough
pretty
division.
Low. They're probably 30 of 32.
That's a tough division.
Down there.
I mean, the other three teams in that division are legit playoff contenders. You know, and the Saints were just really, really good last year. Even though the Bucks did the Bucks beat them twice last year?
Who?
The Saints. I want to say the Bucks beat them twice. I know for a fact they beat them once. They beat them to start the season. They blew them out. Beat them down like 48-10, and then I think they beat them again. So the Bucks seem to have the Saints' number. You can fact check me if you need to. But
Bucks did win the first game 48-40. Saints got them the second time.
Oh, 48-40, not 48-10. I knew it was 48. I was close. So the Saints won the second one.
Yep.
Okay, so I was wrong about that. Jordan DeGianni, by the way, coming on at 11:15 to talk NFL. We can ask him a little bit more about Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah. St. Louis dominates to advance to the Stanley Cup.
The St. Louis Cup Stanley Final?
The St. Louis Blues dominated the San Jose Sharks to advance to the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, mentioned it a little bit in the first segment. I think it's big for the city of St. Louis. And did you see the story that Rovell put out about the Blues fan that can turn $400 into $100,000 if St. Louis wins the Stanley Cup? $400, he can turn it into $100,000. Scott Berry is this guy's name. He headed to a sports book at the Paris Las Vegas Hotel. His St. Louis Blues were 250 to 1 to win the Stanley Cup. $1 wins $250. He put down, let's see, I guess he put down $400 and then made some other bet. I'll have to read the story. Anyway, he can turn $400 into $100,000, or they're offering him $40,000 to just give it up.
I mean, that's like that, it was the two Packers fans that put, I think it was $150 down each on the Packers after they started off, I want to say it was 2-6, the year that Rodgers came out and said, everyone just R-E-L-A-X, we're going to be just fine. And they rattled off 7 or 8 in a row to make it to the playoffs. And then they won 2 games in the playoffs, and at that time, the bettors' money was worth, like, they each were going to come out with around, I want to say, $300,000 if they were to pull it. And they, I think the Packers ended up losing in the NFC Championship game.
Oh, man. So it was 250 to 1 at the Paris Hotel, right? So he thought that seemed a bit high. And this was when they were last in the NHL on January 2nd when the guy put this bet down. Mm-hmm. They were dead last. And still 250 to 1 seemed a bit high. So we went over to the Bellagio to check and see what it was for the Blues. They were 150 to 1. So he sprinted back to the Paris Hotel and put down everything he had.
$400.
That he planned on spending on gambling, $400, to win $100,000.
That's pretty good.
So he did do it all in one bet. And then by January 23rd, things were starting to turn around. They beat the Ducks that night, didn't lose for like a month, and here they are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
What a bet.
What a turnaround by the Blues.
When they were in last.
What a turnaround, my God.
Would y'all take the $40,000, or would you hedge your bets and try and make the $100K?
Man, that's tough.
I'd let it ride. At this point, you're right there. You're in the Stanley Cup. Let it ride.
That would be so hard to decide.
That's what the two bettors for the Packers did. They had the opportunity to pull out, and they were each going to make a little over $100,000, I'm pretty sure, maybe more.
Well, you got to.
They both said, let it ride.
You got to think, though, Boston was red hot. Like, the Bruins were red hot. They're looking good. And
the Blues are red hot, man. They just won two games, five goals each. 1-5-0, 1-5-1.
Yeah, but you know Boston. You know Boston when it comes to titles. Boston doesn't lose titles.
Except for the Celtics.
The Celtics, yeah. I'm just thinking, if somebody offered me $40K and I had put down $400, that's $39,600 more than my bet. But, you know, $400,000 is $360,000 more than that. So, I don't know. That would be a really tough call.
If it was $50,000, I think I'd automatically probably take it. If you're getting like half guaranteed, I may have to go ahead and do that and
let it ride.
Either way, you're going to feel sick.
Don't be a loser. Let it ride.
Unless you let it ride and the Blues win.
I feel like your stress dies down a little bit, though, if you go ahead and sell the ticket. Because, like, if you keep the ticket and you're watching the games, you're stressing out about the whole situation.
But then if the Blues win, you're like, Jesus, I could have $360,000 more. No. Yeah, you probably let it ride, don't you?
I've got one more for you before we get to this break, Cody.
All right.
Since you were out Monday, this is some big news. Colts sign troubled free agent quarterback Chad Kelly.
Ooh. Swag Kelly.
Kelly, who was a tryout player during the team's rookie mini camp earlier this month, has a history of off the field problems.
He does.
He was released by the Broncos the day after he was arrested for criminal trespassing after entering a couple's home in October 2018.
So the Colts signed him to do what exactly?
He is their backup quarterback.
Do they not have a backup for Andrew Luck?
Let's see. Andrew Luck and Jacoby Brissett are the top two quarterbacks on the roster.
Chad Kelly will
compete with Philip Walker to be the third string. The Colts have only kept two quarterbacks on the active roster the last two years.
Chad has set himself back. My guy, Chad.
Chad has the ability to beat Walker out for the practice squad because that's where he's been the last two seasons.
My guy, Chad, almost had it made in Denver. Fans in Denver at one time, there for a couple weeks, were really pushing for him to get the starting job.
Chad could have had it made anywhere he went as long as he didn't get in trouble. He could have just sat, been a backup quarterback, collected the check, and had the best seat in the house for every single game.
I will always still pull for Chad Kelly. I hope he can find his way into a starting role at some time.
Understand the love for Swag Kelly.
I always love Chad Kelly. I don't know. It's weird. I always really liked him.
He likes bad boy.
I liked watching him play. He was so good in his games against Alabama. I think that's part of why I respected him, because he was good on the big stage. I mean, he put up numbers on Alabama like nobody else could. But, you know, he had really good receivers, too, and a really good offensive scheme. But we'll see if things work out okay for him. Jordan DeJanny coming up on the other side from 247 Sports. He'll talk some NFL with us and break down this Reuben Foster situation. Stay tuned. Talk Sports back on the other side. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Getting ready to talk a little bit of NFL here. I want to bring in Jordan DeJanny, my good friend from 247 Sports, and also a former co-host with me back in the day on a radio station that no one listened to, but we had a hell of a time doing it. Jordan, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Cody? Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, good to hear from you. Hope you're doing well. I guess we can start off with this Reuben Foster stuff. You're covering the NFL for 247. I know you do a lot of Redskins stuff. Reuben Foster apparently carted off the practice field the other day, believes to have suffered a torn ACL. Can you give us some more details into the Reuben Foster injury?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, it's a little more serious than just a torn ACL. Reports indicate that he might have some possible artery damage as well. So an extremely serious injury. And there's just so many crazy things that took part into this and makes it a tragic story. I mean, this literally occurred on the third play of OTAs, the first voluntary workout for the Redskins. You know, really his first quote-unquote snap of his Redskins career, he goes down with a devastating leg injury. He was looked at as to be a guy who's going to start at the middle linebacker position for the Redskins, so obviously that leaves a big hole in the middle of their defense. And, you know, as the story goes, Reuben Foster's had a lot of off-field issues. The Redskins were truly the only NFL team who believed in him, or the only one who put a claim in for him on waivers. He was cleared by the law. He's cleared by the NFL. He's put into an accountability program. He had six or seven Alabama teammates on the Redskins. Even Landon Collins said he was like a mentor to him. So it finally seemed like Foster was going to be back on the straight and narrow. And to have this injury happen is obviously pretty devastating in different senses of the word.
Between the off-the-field issues, obviously with the domestic violence situation that we have seen in the past with Reuben Foster, and now this injury, which sounds like a really gruesome injury, is it crazy to think that Reuben Foster's career could be over? Or if he heals from this, does some other team give him a shot down the road?
Yeah, it's a good question. We'll have to go back and look at his contract situation, because I do believe he has a year or two left. And again, you know, he's had a couple of these off-field issues, like you said, but he has potential, man. If you watch film of him during some plays with the San Francisco 49ers in his first couple of years, this guy has potential, and the NFL knows that. But in terms of his injury, obviously, we don't want to say that anything like that yet. I know he has a couple meetings coming up with some specialists. We're going to know more information in the coming weeks or so, just how rehab's going to go, how surgery probably is going to go, everything like that. But, you know, if he's able to make a return to the field and be fairly healthy in the future, I think that the Redskins, you could point to them as being the first team to want to take a chance on him again.
I want to ask you about the Redskins in particular. We'll kind of start with that division and then maybe do some general NFL stuff. But I want to ask you about the Redskins in that division. I know John said he has the Redskins, I believe, as his dark horse. We did some NFL picks the other day.
Let me pull it up.
Yeah, pull that up, Ben. I don't want to misquote my good man John, but I think he said he's got the Redskins as his dark horse, or maybe has them winning that division. Jordan, do you think that the Redskins are close to being the favorite in that division, or is that still kind of a bold pick?
I still think that's kind of a bold pick. Last year, though, if you remember, the Redskins started off 6-3 before injuries took their entire offensive line and their top two quarterbacks. They lost five of their last six games. But, you know, for the majority of the season, really, they were atop the NFC East. They were the team who looked really good, and one of the best emerging defenses in the NFL, a team that I was expecting to make the playoffs. But, of course, injuries kind of had a different plan, and this is the second year in a row that's happened. And now with Reuben Foster going down, who knows if that will happen again. But if the Redskins can stay healthy, they definitely could be a dark horse in the division, especially looking at their quarterback situation. If Dwayne Haskins is able to win that starting job and he is able to perform to a high level that rookie season, the Redskins could definitely be a dark horse. But again, I'll say this. I think the Cowboys are improved. I think the Eagles are improved. So that's why I can't pick the Redskins to win this division, obviously. I really like what the Cowboys are doing. You know, bringing in guys like Amari Cooper. We saw how explosive he made that offense later in the season. I think now that he's got some games under his belt and offseason with his new team under his belt, the Cowboys should be the favorite to win this division.
I think it's a lot like the NFC South, too. It's kind of a toss-up in that division. There's some very capable teams there, and then kind of one bad team that we would expect with the Giants. Did you say the Redskins have seven Alabama guys on that defense?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but, yeah, it's around seven, eight. We call them the Alabama Redskins, Washington Crimson Tide. That's something that this scouting department has been trying to do. You know, get talented players from college, and you don't have to look much farther than, obviously, the University of Alabama, who's won so many championships in the past decade. So that's something they're trying to instill in their program as they try to, you know, rebuild this franchise.
Pretty good strategy, I guess, for an NFL team, just for a defense, just take all of Alabama's best players.
Let's go get the best team's players.
Yeah, pretty good strategy. So
absolutely. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I guess kind of looking around the NFL, I know some odds came out a while back on, you know, teams most likely to win the divisions, and we kind of did some early picks. Looking around the NFC right now, who do you see as the biggest contenders? Is it still going to come down to the Rams and the Saints? Are there some other teams there in the NFC that can make a lot of noise?
Yeah, for sure. I think let's go back to the NFC East for a second. Philadelphia Eagles, if Carson Wentz can remain healthy, because he was having an MVP caliber season before he went down with his serious knee injury. And like I said, the Dallas Cowboys are another team to watch. They won a playoff game last year. I think that they can win at least a couple more in 2019. Going to the rest of the NFC, I think the Saints, like you said, they're gonna maintain that same level of success they had in 2018. Drew Brees is not slowing down. Michael Thomas is arguably the best receiver in the NFL. Alvin Kamara, obviously, we know how versatile that guy is. And then the Rams, you know, they lost Ndamukong Suh, of course, but I don't think that's a big hit. Aaron Donald is still one of the best defensive players in the NFL, in my opinion. And Jared Goff, I think, will continue to develop. I think Todd Gurley's knee issue in terms of the arthritis might be just a little overblown. I still think that he's going to be a very capable running back, a star running back in the NFL, even if he doesn't lead the league in touchdowns. So, and let's the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson is getting paid now. He's the highest paid quarterback in the league, and he's someone who, obviously, they were supposed to have a pretty bad season last year, but he was able to take Seattle to the playoffs. So a lot of star power, a lot of firepower in the NFC.
Cam here is a big Falcons fan. You say there's not any chance of Drew Brees slowing down anytime soon. I wonder what makes you think that? Do you think, and also do you think that the Falcons could maybe contend in that division?
I think they possibly could contend, especially when you look at the Panthers with they have some issues in their secondary right now. We don't know how good Cam Newton's going to be coming back, kind of from that exploratory shoulder surgery. We still don't know how serious that is. Them drafting Will Greer is a little concerning as well to some people, at least. But yeah, the Atlanta Falcons have always kind of just been there. And you know, I like Matty Ice a lot. I think Matt Ryan has a lot of potential. It's going to be interesting to see them without Tevin Coleman. You know, some games he was such an important piece of that offense, and without him, I'm kind of interested just to see how it goes down with them. And we'll see if Julio Jones, of course, can maintain his levels of success. But I think Atlanta's a decent team. I'm not expecting them to go to the Super Bowl again like they did a couple of years ago, but they're a decent team.
Hey, Jordan, Cameron here. Do you think that the upgrade of Dirk Cutter to offensive coordinator will be a significant enough change to possibly push them to the playoffs?
Possibly. I don't think just adding an offensive coordinator who has been successful in the past can be enough to take a team to the playoffs, but you know, I do like Dirk a lot. He definitely had some struggles at being a head coach, obviously, in Tampa. But bringing him back to kind of the OC where he can kind of focus on one thing while, you know, Atlanta continues to try to upgrade their defense, you're right, could be a big step in the right direction. So, you know, I think Dirk adding him as an OC is definitely one of the better moves of the offseason, at least in terms of a sleeper move. So, but again, I don't know if Atlanta can exactly make a huge playoff run in 2019.
Hey, Jordan, Ben Lee here, big fan. What do you think of the Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur? Any news coming out of Green Bay on any new offensive schemes, anything going on there?
I can't tell you anything like that. That sounds like some pretty insider info. But I will say this, the Packers are definitely a team to watch this year because Matt LaFleur is supposed to be this offensive genius. He is someone who was getting head coach attention relatively a couple seasons ago when the Titans were able to hire him as their OC. Nothing changed, even though the Titans didn't exactly have a great season. They didn't make the playoffs or anything. People still knew Matt's name. And now that he has full reins of a team with a guy like Aaron Rodgers as well, this is definitely an offense to keep your eye on. This, the Green Bay Packers could be a sleeper under a rookie coach, depending on how good Matt LaFleur is. I'm not necessarily the biggest Matt LaFleur fan or LaFleur fan in the world, but he definitely has potential, and I think that he is definitely an NFL head coach. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do in his first year, especially with a guy like Aaron Rodgers leading his system.
Really pulling for Aaron Rodgers this year when he's not playing the Bears. I always hope that that Aaron Rodgers performs well, except against my my Midway monsters there in Chicago. Jordan, before we let you go, wouldn't be able to let you get out of here without talking a little bit of Titans. I know we got a lot of Titans fans here that listen to the show. I know you follow the Titans closely. What are the expectations this year? Do the Titans get to the playoffs, or are they a step away? I mean, what are you feeling out of Nashville?
Ooh, man, when you say expectations about the Titans, my mind goes a few different places, because, of course, we've got the expectations of the team, which you're asking, but then we also have the expectations of Marcus Mariota, the quarterback. Will he finally be able to play a full 16 games? Will he be able to replicate what he did in his first or second season in terms of touchdown-interception ratio? Will he make this offense consistent? Will he warrant a long-term, financially, you know, rich extension with the Titans? Will he do enough to kind of reinstill that confidence with Tennessee Titans fans? And I think we can just start there. I think that Marcus Mariota is one of the biggest pieces of this team. The Titans had one of the best defenses in the league last year, but the problem was the offense in a lot of different games couldn't move the ball, so they were on the field and they got tired. Kind of like a similar situation with the Redskins when they had their quarterback issues. So the expectation is that the Titans need to get to the playoffs. Absolutely. They have to get the playoffs. They were in that same kind of scenario last year. Couldn't get it done with Blaine Gabbert in Week 17 in a play-in game in primetime in Nashville against the Indianapolis Colts. So the Titans definitely need to make the playoffs this year, in my opinion.
Do you think it happens? Do you think Mariota is the guy there that will be able to get them to where they need to be?
I will say yes, but I don't think it's solely just because of Marcus Mariota. I think they made a lot of upgrades with this team. I'm interested to see how much of an impact A.J. Brown does. I'm interested to see just kind of some of the additions they made on the defensive side of the ball as well with Jeffrey Simmons, if he can get healthy. I think the Titans just got better as a team in general on paper this offseason. So I think that with that Mariota, I think he knows that his back is kind of up against the wall, for lack of a better analogy. But I think that Marcus Mariota will be able to have a pretty decent season and get his Tennessee Titans to the playoffs and make all of us happy again.
What were your thoughts on the death of Cersei Lannister?
So you're not going to believe this, but I stopped watching two or three episodes left after watching my first two Game of Thrones episodes ever.
So you started at the Battle of Winterfell, right? And then you watched episode four where Cersei shoots down the dragon. But you didn't watch the last two?
I'm not shocked.
Correct.
Were you just not into it?
I thought it was great. I thought it was like very well done visually. I could tell that there was a lot of good storylines, even though I had no idea what was going on the entire time. My whole thought process was, okay, I'm convinced that I'm going to start this series at some point. I don't want to watch the entire thing through the end, you know, the last three episodes. I think that would, you know, make me not motivated to start the entire thing again since I really, really know what happens.
But Jordan, I was going to say, now that you've heard all the reaction from everybody, do you really want to go back and waste all that time?
It's not a waste of time, Ben.
You get six seasons apparently the greatest show of all time. Then the last two seasons where they're supposed to really wrap it all up, apparently they just absolutely dookie the bed.
Right. And I understand that is the general consensus from everybody. I mean, we even had to watch Aaron Rodgers, if you saw that clip, of him just go off on it yesterday. And he was in Game of Thrones for an episode.
Yeah.
My whole thing is I don't trust everybody, okay? I haven't seen the show for myself. I know everyone else seemed to hate it, but
I haven't seen it.
I don't understand why you're mad. I'm going to watch it. I'm gonna make my own opinion. And even if you're right, I'll tell you next year when I'm done if all of you guys are right.
Well, sorry to spoil a big death for you there, Jordan. Hope you can enjoy the show otherwise, although I'm sure you've seen plenty on Twitter. No matter what, though, it's worth it. to watch the first six seasons. So,
okay, so tell me, the kid who won it, the brand, Raisin Brand, whatever his name is, the kid who won it, is he, why was he like the worst pick to win it all?
Yeah.
Is he the worst possible person who could have won it all?
Have you seen the meme that says when you don't do anything with the for the school project but you still get an A?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty much Brand. Brand is a really boring character.
He's just the keeper of the history.
Yeah. I like how Ben is talking Thrones and he's never watched the show.
I know enough at this point.
Ben bases all of his knowledge off the internet here.
I base it off of what John and Cody have said in our segments. Bran is the keeper of the history. He knows everything that's happened in the past. So apparently that makes him fit to rule.
Bran is the three-eyed raven, if that answers your question, Jordan.
I just remember him saying, "I have to go now," and then we saw an epic battle scene. I didn't know what he was doing.
He just
controlling
dipped.
Birds, but that what he was doing?
Yeah, he was just, he warged into a bird, and then he tried to warg into, he may have warged into the horse that met Arya. I don't know. I don't know. But I don't know. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you watch it, and I think it's a really good show. But Jordan, thank you for joining our show today.
You're not going to ask Jordan if he has anything to plug real quick?
Do you have anything to plug real quick?
No, we're good.
No. All right. Thanks for joining the show.
No, 247sports.com. Follow me on Twitter at jdejanny247. Keep up with all your NFL news there. We don't miss a beat on anything. So I want to thank you, Cody, for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, brother. That was Jordan DeJanny from 247 Sports at jdejanny247. Used to be JD number three, but he changed it. So
much more official.
Much more professional. Big J journalist at JDeJanny247. Some good NFL insight there. We will talk something else on the other side. Maybe do overrated, underrated. Do you have some topics, Ben?
I got some topics.
We could do that on the other side, couldn't we? It is Wednesday.
Cam's debut of overrated, underrated.
All right, we'll be back with overrated, underrated on the other side.
Overrated. It's overrated. Overrated, my friend. Overrated. I'm going to tell you why.
I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
You guys ready for overrated, underrated?
Jesus Christ. Every time I think their light bulbs are going to break. I love watching the audio levels on the...
on the pair. On the
one dick bar.
Yeah, on the podcast. Yeah. That used to be one of my favorite things. I'll try to see how many seconds I could actually go.
Yeah, but yeah, we're ready.
First up, Barley's.
The bar.
Pizza restaurant.
As in the local place here?
Yes.
I will go... properly rated, and I think it's because it's rated highly. It's a good pizza. I wouldn't call it the best pizza in town, but it's up there. You know, it's one of, I'd say it's top 10, close to top 5 probably, pizza joint in town. Very good pizza. It stood the test of time. Good bar. They have live bands in there. I saw Ron White there after his comedy show here a few weeks ago. And
he
did,
drinking?
He was. And he did a little after party kind of thing there, just... took some pictures with fans and stuff like that. At least the female ones. He declined my request, but I don't blame him at all. But I'll say properly rated. I usually go overrated or underrated, but that one seems like a good proper rate.
I'm gonna say it's underrated. I love Barley's. I think it's a nice little like chill spot to go like during the week. Like not really like on a weekend or anything, but you go during the week. Like I think they have a free pool on like Wednesdays. You know, you can go during the summer when it's nice. You go sit on the patio, eat a pizza, drink a couple beers, and nice little right downtown. You can go to almost anything right around. So I think it's underrated.
And there was 2 minutes of free pub for a business that doesn't advertise with us.
Mimosas.
Mimosas are overrated, and I'll tell you why. Because you can simply not have the champagne, and you can put in vodka, and it becomes a screwdriver. So why start the day with champagne when you can start the day with vodka? That's kind of my thinking on it.
Feels classier.
I mean, actually, you know what? I'll go underrated. I've changed my mind on this because I guess if you're starting the day, champagne is not so bad. Because a lot of people want to start the day with a drink, you know, go get you some, you know, huevos rancheros or some eggs, you know, some over easy eggs or what do they call it? Eggs Benedict, you know, all those brunch items you can get. Get you a breakfast burrito or something. I love a good brunch place. So I'll say to start the day, if it's going to be a long day, I'd go underrated. But if I'm just going to have one, this is tough for me. Underrated to start the day. Overrated if you're having a mimosa in the middle of the day. Because then you can replace it with vodka, and they're probably going to charge you close to the same price.
I got to go overrated here. I'm with the screwdriver crowd. I would rather just go straight to vodka and, you know, just hop right in it. Like, you got to go big or go home. I'm not going to, you know, tone it down for y'all.
Start in the morning.
Like, yeah, y'all can drink the champagne. I'm going to start hard, and I'm going to keep it going. You know, you got to. It helps you power through the day if you're used to starting big. So, you know, don't want to start small.
Cam is one you want. So, Cam can ride through the night if you're.
So have we discovered that John is now the only one on the show who's not a drunk? Is that what we've discovered?
I guess so. Because
I know Ben, you and I have had some troubles
the last couple of weeks. I've been sleeping, you know, fully clothed, my shoes still on. I woke up with a bottle of Onto Your Vodka next to me at one point.
I actually haven't been to a bar in a week.
So, really?
I'm trying to take it easy for a couple of weeks, so I'm on a streak.
Cam testing out sobriety. How's that for you?
It's not cool. I don't enjoy it.
Abstinence. Sometimes that's the answer. But, yeah, so, yeah, love a good mimosa from time to time, I guess.
Boats.
Boats. Okay, I gotta go a little overrated here. I'm not a big boat person, but this may because I have an irrational fear of open water. So, like, I don't like just being in the middle of something. And, I don't know. A lot of people I've been on boats with, I don't know if I necessarily trust them to be on a boat drinking all the time, so... It's more for my safety, I think, than anybody else's. I would rather not my drunk friends think it's funny to throw me into a lake while I've just been chilling, enjoying my day. So, I don't know. I got to go a little overrated on boats. It's like back home, I got Lake Lanier out in Georgia, and it gets super crowded, and people die all the time on that lake from boats. So, maybe it's just a personal thing, but overrated for me.
I'm going to go underrated on boats. I know that there's a risk when you're drinking and you're boating and people do get killed on lakes. That's very true. That happens too often. And by the way, Memorial Day is coming up this weekend, so stay safe out there, everybody. Mm-hmm. Don't boat and drink. But I will say, to me, boats are underrated because being out on the water, assuming you're not the one operating the boat, and drinking on the lake is a lot of fun.
Yeah, one beer equals three.
Yeah, right, that's a good point, Ben. Especially if you're on like a party barge, it's always a good time on the lake.
A big old pontoon with your boys.
Yeah, man, because if you're on a boat, you're out on the open water. If you're cruising, you have that free feeling of the wind hitting you in the face. You're getting a tan under the summer sun, you know, drinking some cold beer, babes all around. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to make me happy. Boats make me happy.
Coasters.
Like drink coasters?
Yeah, coasters.
I got to go overrated. I think it's more of a for a look thing. Like I've never really, and I know it's like supposed to protect your table and whatnot, but usually if you're drinking your drink that slow, it's you shouldn't even be drinking in the first place. So yeah, I gotta go a little overrated on coasters. It's just for a look. It's an aesthetic thing.
If there's the ability to leave a ring on the table, then you're just not drinking.
I'd hate to see your coffee table, Cam, or your end tables just full of rings. They were once dark brown and now they're just yellow from all the rings that have been placed on.
Enough rings. Looks like the whole thing's the same color.
Yeah, it looks like the Olympic symbol with all the rings. I got to go underrated for that very reason. They do protect your table. I don't have a lot of nice furniture, but I do have a nice end table, and I always make sure I've got two coasters on it, you know, one at the end of the couch, one by the chair, because I don't want to leave rings on the furniture, and coasters, they prevent that. And, you know, there's nothing worse. Plus, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but when you just put it straight down on the wood, say you have like a cold glass of water or something, it'll slide a little bit. It's easy to slide off the table. It builds up that water puddle. You could lose your drink.
Mm.
Plus, every time you pick it up, it drips on you. With a coaster, you can kind of swirl it around a little bit and make sure that the condensation's not dripping. And this seems like a lot of detail for a topic of drink coasters. But I got to go underrated.
Well, what's worse is when the coaster sticks to the bottom and you're trying to drink your drink, then the wet coaster drops on you and you just...
Slide it a little first. Just slide it a little, you know.
If this was this or that, I think Cody would have the point here.
Yeah.
Last one. Summer break.
Ooh, I gotta say properly rated. I think it's a little overrated once you get like older. But if you're
you don't have one anymore.
Yeah, because it's irrelevant. It's just it gets hotter outside. You know,
you're working
doing the
and
normal
it's
thing. Yeah, so it's a little overrated when you're an adult. But if you're in college or younger, it's the best time of your life, you know. You got a good break. Like, that's the best time to go day drink, go party, go when you're back
like
in the day.
Like, four of our five topics, Cam has mentioned drinking. Big drinker.
Or if you're younger, you can go outside and play with your friends. You know, everybody's got freedom, no school, no responsibilities.
What was our first topic? Because we've done mimosas, boats,
Barley's.
Summer break.
Barley's
and you drink there, too. And you mentioned drinking, didn't you?
Yeah,
you mentioned drinking.
We've
Cam's a drunk. Cam's a drunk.
Cam's fun to party with.
I'm going to decline that I'm a drunk.
Cam's not a drunk.
For legal reasons, that's a joke.
I don't want to call Cam a drunk.
Me and Cam posted up outside of the studio for the Kentucky SEC Championship game, waiting to get in because we were locked out. Posted up, tailgated, drank a little bit together. It was a lot of fun.
Well, this has just been the drinking segment, hasn't it?
And then I was obliterated on voluntary
Barley's,
reaction.
Mimosas, boats, summer break, and what was the other one?
We coasters, talked, which
coasters,
is also drinks.
We talked about drinking this entire
drink-heavy segment.
That's very interesting. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Yeah, summer break, I got to go underrated. From the time you're a kid to the time you're in college, that's where memories are made. Summertime, it's where memories are made, and it sucks when it's over, and then you have to be an adult, and you don't really get a summer break unless you take a little vacation. But,
adulting, definitely overrated.
Yeah, going underrated on that one. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back on the other side. Back on the program. Do a bit of a short segment here, I suppose.
Hat.
We can go to the
hat.
1 second, though. Did you guys see the Wall Street Journal headline yesterday?
No, hat.
Okay, we'll go to the hat, damn it. Did you see that the Warriors, it basically said the Warriors would not be good without all their good players.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody,
yeah.
I saw your quote
like,
tweet.
What a hot take.
Everybody was making fun of it. The Wall Street Journal, they put out this article yesterday, and the title on it says, "The Warriors would not be a dynasty without Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, and Kevin Durant."
They threw Iggy in there, too.
Yeah. That was it. And then
the whole squad.
Wow.
Yeah. The Warriors would not be a dynasty.
Without adding DeMarcus Cousins this offseason, either.
Yeah, the poor DeMarcus Cousins didn't even get a mention. They listed those five players, Steph, Klay, Draymond, Iguodala, and Durant, and then they put a link to the article. And so, of course, everybody was making fun of it.
I loved your quote tweet.
Yeah, I said the Beatles would not have been a good band without Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr.
Oh, they probably could have done without Ringo.
Yeah. You're lucky we even let you in the damn band.
The funniest quote, I think, from any of those like Beatles interviews is when they asked him about, like, is Ringo the best drummer in the world? And Paul was like, he's not the best drummer in the band.
No, he's not. I always just assume it's the John Lennon voice anytime I see anything about the Beatles. Yeah, he wasn't. He probably wasn't the best drummer in the band. But, Ringo benefited from being in the Beatles for sure. A couple minutes here, Cam. Quick hat topic, I suppose.
Well, I pulled last time. Why don't you draw?
You want me to draw?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll draw.
I'll draw. You're too far away, Ben. You're a
throw
long
the hat
way.
At you.
You're a long way away. All right. Here, let's see. Oh, this is good. Yeah, if you could pick the brain of any historical figure, who would it be?
Oh, man.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I got to go with Hitler. And hear me out.
You just want to know why?
I want to know what was going on in his mind. Not that I would.
Self-loathing, man.
Well, I mean, would it not be interesting to know, like, how does a guy like that come to power and just, like, what is going on in the mind of a guy like that?
Great orator.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I would want to pick the brain of people like that, like famous killers and murderers and stuff like that. And sorry this is taking a dark turn, but, you know, just because I'd like to see, you know, how are they wired?
Yeah.
Like, do they have regular thoughts like the rest of us, you know? Like, did Hitler wake up and he's like, scrambled eggs or over easy? Like, what goes through a mind like a guy like that?
I mean, I'd say, like, he has a, you know, he thinks about what he'd have for breakfast every morning.
I mean, it just, yeah, I mean.
No, I mean, I don't know too much about it, but, you know, like, the deal with Hitler was, like, he was just, like, a self-loathing man, and, like, you kind of get into that later.
Well,
but,
let's not finish this hour with Hitler. Who would you guys pick?
I'm having trouble kind of thinking of one. Like, I think I would go, like I would want to know about, like, the ancient rulers, you know what I mean? Like, I would.
Caesar.
Yeah, I would want to know, like, what daily life of Caesar was like, or Ramses for the Egyptians or something like that.
Robert Baratheon.
Not quite there.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Ragnar Lothbrok.
Yeah.
Viking king.
Joffrey, Tommen, guys like that.
Don't really know. I mean, like, maybe FDR. I would talk to FDR.
I'd probably go, like, Nikola Tesla or Albert Einstein or someone like that. Maybe they could put me on to some sort of invention I can make. And
Tesla, definitely.
Yeah,
a really smart guy.
Yeah, someone like that. Get a little bit of knowledge. Maybe they can write me some notes down or something and, you know, make something happen.
I would say I'd like to pick the brains of those guys, but I don't think I could understand them. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have somewhat of a regular guy. Like, I don't know, maybe like
a big coach back in the day. Learn some sports stuff?
No, probably not.
I don't know. It'd be nice to pick the brain of like a Bear Bryant or a Robert Neyland.
A great comedian would interest me. George Carlin, like just sitting down with him for a while, or Richard Pryor, guys like that. That would be really cool to me. So that was talking Wall Street Journal and Hitler and things like that for 5 minutes.
Shout out to the hat.
Yeah, let's put this hour in the books. Hour 3 coming at you on the other side.